When asked to CEOs what is the major problems they see in the organization, 90% of them always answer in the same way. It's all about execution. We have an amazing strategy. People, they know what they have to do, but for a reason or another, they really fail to execute. So that is an important matter, as you know. So I invited to speak a good friend of mine, a great LinkedIn influencer, Monte Pedersen, is also an expert in organizational and strategy execution. So stay with me today, because this episode is going to give you really access to some new thoughts and ideas, how really you can drive execution in your organization. So ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of the World Class Leader Show. And today I'm extremely happy to have with us Monte Pedersen. And the reason why I'm very happy, so by the way, Monte, nice to see you again and thank you for being on the show today with us.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
The reason why I'm particularly excited, you know, about having Monte is for two reasons. So one is because Monte is such an incredible provider of value insights on LinkedIn, and we met there and we are both really aligned with the way of thinking about leadership, about strategy, and that's what we're going to talk about. And that's the second reason, is because he's so passionate about strategy execution and, generally speaking, execution organization, and that is a big theme. So I think it's very important that we have this conversation, because I know many people out there, you also may be listening, you are facing this problem. So I think with Monte today, we're really planning to go through this. So Monte is a principal of the CDA group. So he enjoyed actually 35 years of professional career in the managed service industry before deciding in 2016 to start a leadership and training firm focuses exclusively on helping organizations to manage strategy execution, as we said. It's really working primarily for small to middle-sized business organizations. He had an extensive professional experience working in a corporate sector for two multinational companies in the past. And as I said, he focused on making strategy execution a core competency within every client organization he touches. So it's really his goal is to eliminate all their bad habits developed over decades and implement a repeatable operating model called the Keen Link Performance Agreement Framework. We'll go through this for success that will teach their teams how to manage execution and get better at doing each year. He's also a lifelong learner and student of truly human leadership principles, an avid golfer, an above average cook, which is okay, good enough. And he resides in the United States in the great Midwestern hamlet of Galena, Illinois, with his wife and daughter. So, Monte, let me start with this. So, why execution is so important for you? So why you created a business around strategy execution? What was the trigger? What was the driver for that choice?
What's interesting about it is in my last career position, I ran into somebody who built a model around strategy execution. And I was so overwhelmed and impressed by it that I said to myself, if I ever left this career, I could see myself doing this, because this has extraordinary value. I just thought back on my 30 plus years of leadership experience, and I thought if I would have had this model and this way of operating and this way of thinking, I could have been so much more successful and helped so many more people. And so it took me all about 1 week, once I knew that career was ending, to decide what I was going to do. And I just jumped into it with both feet. And now it's 7 years later.
So what did you learn about strategy execution from your past corporate career? I mean, you said you came across with this model. It sounded so critical, so valuable, and then you wanted to use it, and then it became your think and then your practice. But what did you learn from your previous corporate experience that led you to think that strategy execution was something missing in organizations?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing, Andre, is that people don't know strategy and they don't know execution very well either. A lot commingle the two. you know, for example, people talk about strategic planning, and in my way of thinking, there is no such thing. There's strategy and there's planning, which is more related to the implementation or the execution side of what it is you do. So you just have these vague notions or fuzzy understandings of what strategy and execution are, and they're two completely different disciplines, and you need an effort against both of them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you need a strategy to go out and execute, because you can come up with strategic objectives, four or five things that you want to accomplish as an organization each year, and you can work off that. So it's always an advantage if you can create a really good strategy that's understandable, that you know your audience gets, and go out and you can execute on that. But for the most part, you can execute independent of strategy and still be successful. So it's just a matter of combining those two elements, making sure that people understand what they are and what you do. But primarily in my focus, it's paying attention to the idea that execution takes a lot of time and planning and effort, and it's an ongoing process that if you're going to deliver on any objectives or strategy, you've got to have that if you're going to do it well.
Right. And you and I spoke already a few times, not only on LinkedIn, about what is happening right now in the business world. And I think we both agreed on the fact that many organizations at the moment are really struggling to execute their own strategy. Maybe they come up with great ideas, great strategy for the futures, or sometimes a little bit cliche, or you know, those kind of strategy missions, they are great for maybe shareholders or great for maybe the organization, you know, but most of the time it's just a lip service. But they're really struggling in making things happen. And I've seen this with my clients all the time. So it's still a very valid notion. It is funny because you said you started this in 2016. So almost now 8 years ago, and still we're talking about strategy execution that is not working. So what are the typical misconceptions or, you know, underrated issues why execution is not happening? So what people don't normally think about strategy execution?
Well, organizations as a whole just develop bad habits over time. Mm. And probably the biggest habit is that they make assumptions about the business, and that's a result of just being ineffective with their communications. So if I were to translate that down, if you're not effective with your people, they don't necessarily understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. And so that's where you need this methodology. You need a way that's, you know, something that's easy to understand, that's repeatable, that they can learn, so they can consistently deal with the dynamics of business. Things change so much. I mean, something like 93% of all strategies or strategic plans change. You know, they're more emerging strategies. We start off with this theory and this premise, and we work, and then all of a sudden in the process we discover that, you know, we're going off in this direction. And so you have to be able to pivot and adjust. And most organizations' mode of operation for dealing with that would be they wait until it becomes a problem, where a customer brings up an issue, or they're doing something so entirely wrong that, you know, they have no choice but, you know, but to change. And so strategy execution works to make you think through those things all the time, so that when something happens, you're ready for it. You know what to do. You can alter your course, and you can get people doing things differently. And so it's a much more proactive manner with which you, you know, with which you approach strategy. And that's probably the biggest thing, that ineffective communication, and then just the inability to manage your people at an individual level so everybody knows what they need to do to contribute to the success of the organization.
Right. It sounds like more what is missing is more an attitude and a muscle in the organization to deal with all the changes that might happen from a strategic standpoint, adapt and react quickly rather than spending, you know, a lot of waste in terms of trying to understand what they need to change and why. And then communication is certainly either a catalyst or could be a problem, you know, if it doesn't really help organization to move faster. So I like it. I like the point about creating a consistent and regular way of dealing with strategy so it's repeatable and you can actually execute any type of strategy. And I think that also creates, correct me if I'm wrong, but correct a sense of freedom to people because they know they know how to do it rather than every single time, you know, starting from scratch. Is that what you see? People feel a little bit easy in execution because they know how to do it?
Yeah. What I find is organizations make assumptions, right? And so they'll make a strategy or they'll put out some strategic objectives and they'll hand that to their vice presidents or to their director's level. And then they'll just expect them to distribute that amongst their teams and have them, you know, have them be able to, you know, to do what they need to do. And that's usually, you know, where it breaks down is you have concurrence and understanding at the top at the senior leadership level. But if you get any farther below that, you're completely dependent on, you know, your direct reporter, area manager or vice president's ability to, you know, to lead and direct those people. And I think the thing that I see the most in organizations, Andres, they tend to dictate what needs to get done to people versus engaging them and, you know, doing what you're talking about, which is giving them autonomy and the freedom scale to be able to, in their role, interpret what needs to be done at their level or the level above them, and then go out and do it. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, they're probably a lot closer to the customer than the senior leadership level is. So they're in a very, very good position to give you good counsel and feedback in terms of what's happening on the ground. And then that goes into what it is they need to do. So there's this effective translation that needs to take place that doesn't happen. And that forces people into a mode of operation where they're waiting on you to tell them what to do. Because if people don't hear what they need to do, or they don't know conclusively what they need to do, they're just going to do what they're comfortable with, or they're going to make it up based upon, you know, what somebody else is doing. And that's just a dangerous position for organizations to get into.
That creates just a bigger gap between, you know, the senior executive, the leadership, and then the rest of the organization. And I like as well what you said in terms of, you said it a couple of times, and on reflection, I think that's really powerful. It's the notion that organizations, they make a lot of assumptions. And when you start making assumptions, in a sense, you're just trying to understand what is happening, what is working in the organization, not having a real pulse, you know, what is happening, a real sense check about how people are working on, whether they're really executing or not, what their strategy is about. So, you know, if you're falling into assuming, that's really a very risky position for an executive. So I like that. I think it's an important point, the assumption versus, you know, a real sense check about what's going on. So let's move to the solution. You know, we spoke for a bit in terms of what is happening, what is causing that, some misalignment, communication, leadership, but also, you know, the element that we just touch on, which is assumption. So based on the framework that you use, what are the typical, you know, approaches, a way of doing, you know, way of dealing with execution when leaders, they just completed their strategy, say, okay, I think we have an amazing strategy. What needs to happen next?
Once you have that strategy and understand, you know, in my way of thinking, strategy is a theory, right? It's a guess. It's our best case scenario for what we think is going to happen, you know, within our industry or, you know, where we compete. So the first thing that needs to happen is there needs to be effective translation of that strategy down throughout the whole organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what comes with that, I mean, the only way you're going to do that is if you're able to effectively manage people on an individual level. And that means you're able to go down 2, 3, 4 levels in the organization and find that person and set up a set of primary job responsibilities and goals for that person that are going to effectively contribute to what they need to do at their level. So communicated to them in a way that makes sense to them so they understand it and so that they know that they're contributing to the success of the organization. You need that throughout. So the senior level, at the VP level, the area manager level, the supervisory level, and then the frontline worker level. You need that ability to go that far. And I think this is the challenge of execution, right? And why it remains so difficult to understand and distant to people is because they don't think that it's possible to manage it at an individual level, that you can't go down and you can't find this person and say, this is really what we need you to be doing. And I want to engage you in how you're doing that. And I want to help you, you know, succeed and develop. This isn't me just telling you what to do. This is me saying, here's what we're trying to do above you. How do you think we can do that better together? So you get this, you get these ongoing dialogues going on with your people. And then in the process, as a leader of that level or that group, you get a feedback that you consistently push back up the chain of command so that, you know, they're understanding what's happening down here. And most of the time, very little of that is happening in organizations. I mean, yes, there are some businesses that are legacy developed families. They've done things very, very well over time, but it's really, really difficult in larger corporations because you have so much revolving leadership and turnover and, you know, people who are more focused on their self-interest than they are on the success of the team. So you have all these, you know, factors that come into it. But, you know, if you can't get the ideas down through the organization and if you can't get people understanding what they need to do to contribute and then have them giving continuous feedback up the chain of command, you lose a lot.
So is that process of engaging with everyone down to the organization easy? So what's the real purpose of that? I probably know the answer, but I just want to test with you. Is it more about engaging them in a co-creation of the strategy, meaning they will be listen and allow to contribute to whatever is that definition strategy? Because that's one way, right? One way is co-creating something with them. They give feedback. They say, look, that's not working. That's maybe a different way of doing. That is better. And then the leaders to take that into account and maybe, you know, crafting a little bit what is their direction of travel, which is a strategy, in a better way because they engage them. Or is more about the strategy is that we don't change it, but I wanted to get you involved. And the only way to get involved, I want to clarify, at a very different layer of the organization, across the entire organization, what is going to be everybody's contribution to the strategy execution?
Yeah, ultimately, I would answer that question by saying, you know, 100 brains are better than one. If you have everybody engaged and touching the challenges and the opportunities, that you're going to get, you know, better input, you know, into what's happening. But more importantly than that, we're getting real-time information as to what's happening. And so we're able to react much more quickly and manage through it more effectively. And I think that's where the real key to execution is. Because normally the way it happens in organizations is it could be 4 or 5 months down the road before you even realize there's a problem.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like goal setting. You set goals at the beginning of the year, and you know, how many times do people find themselves 2 or 3 months down the road that their goals are no longer even applicable to what you're trying to do because something has disrupted the business. And so, you know, change has been required. So it's sort of like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's primarily a feedback loop, right? So get them involved as soon as possible and maybe, you know, raise their hands to see whether everything is executable or there are potential gaps, issues that you want to get a sort of feedback. So then you know where you stand in order to start, you know, assuming that execution will be just fine. And then, but then everybody is not necessarily aligned. So there might be someone that say, well, you did not involve me and that is not workable or whatever. So it's more about engaging through a feedback loop so they can act quickly in terms of what to do next. Is that right? As a summary?
That's exactly right. And to put it another way, you know, the left hand needs to know what the right hand's doing. So at all of those levels, everybody's aware of what, you know, the level below them or the level above them, what those teams should be doing.
Yeah.
And so we have checks and balances. We can help keep each other accountable. I mean, really, if you're looking at it from a unit or group or departmental level, you're basically saying I'm here to support the success of the level above me, and what they need is what I need to provide, and then you know they need to provide it for the level above them, and that's that feedback loop. But everybody needs to have a quality understanding of what gets done, and the only way you're going to do that is if you're communicating that thoroughly throughout the organization.
Yeah, so my takeaway is communication super important at all levels. Is individual. Second point is primarily at individual level. It's not just communication by groups. And then is clarity on roles, responsibilities for execution, so there are no misunderstanding and the expectations are clear. That's great. So if we go to the next level, so we say, okay, we engage them, we are communicating the strategy. We get everybody up to speed, aligned. It's clear what are the expectations, roles, etc., etc. There is a level of mutual accountability within groups. So what needs to happen? So at the moment, I would say there are all the right premises to execute the strategy. So what needs to happen next then to make things happen once we got to that level?
You need a way of documenting performance and tracking data and information inside the organization. It's not just enough to do those things. I mean, it is. I mean, if most organizations just did what you encapsulated so eloquently, they would be miles ahead. But
yes,
if you really want to get good at execution and get better at it every year, then you'll have a way of documenting, monitoring, and measuring the performance that you're doing throughout the year. And I mean, and again, I don't want to be shameless here in my plug for the system that I use, but you know, a good execution management system will have a way of recording what's happening on the ground, so that feedback comes back more than just through anecdotal stories up through the organization.
Yeah. That's great. So it's the measurement system and the KPIs and performance. So in other words, it's all about measuring the any sort of, you know, execution steps and processes, so you know where you are. And then again, it's back to the feedback loop, but then in terms of measuring and performance. So here's a question, maybe a challenge to you, Monte, and what we discussed so far. In my personal experience, people, I think you said, you know, quite well at the beginning, you know, people don't want to be told, but at some point, you know, you need to tell people what you're expecting, you know, them to do, which is unfortunately or fortunately, you know, the way our organizations work. Nonetheless, we know by psychology that people, if they don't see what you see because they have a different perspective about the situation, then their action won't be necessarily, you know, aligned with what they say to you just because you are his boss, right? You are a boss and you say, we need to execute this strategy. And unfortunately, in an environment where there is a compliance and there is no openness, transparency, and, you know, opportunity for people to speak up and say, I don't agree, or that is not going to work, listen to me, and the leader say, okay, great, I want to get your input. So a little bit on feedback loop, but the reality is, if organizations, maybe they failed in the past in terms of executing, why next time they receive a new strategy, they need to believe that this time is going to work? And if they don't believe it's going to work, their action will unfortunately show that, because they might say something, but they might not really doing things because they don't care. They have, you know, internally a dialogue that says, well, it will never work. Why the hell? Why do I need to do this? Have you ever encountered a situation where, you know, employees, they might say yes, but then they struggle to implement because they might have a completely different view about the situation, so they don't feel like they're part of that?
Yeah, I experience that all the time. because when it comes down to it, and I can't verify these statistics, but in my mind, I've kind of positioned it this way, that really about, well, I mean, if you take what is known from the research, anywhere from 60 to 90% of all strategies fail every year.
Yeah.
Okay. You've probably heard similar figures like that. Okay. So if you take that understanding, and let's just take it to the far end and say that 10% of all organizations execute fairly proficiently on a regular basis, that you know, they run well and they do things. Only about 2% of that 10 execute at a very high level. Mm. So I share that with you to illustrate that the largest majority of organizations out there are shooting from the hip. They are clearly, they've done strategies and they've probably spent money and resources and failed, and, you know, just don't feel like it's anything more than a waste of people's time. And so they, you know, so what do? They dig in and they run the day-to-day operations and they hope, you know, for good things to happen. And then, you know, they'll hear something new from somebody and, you know, they may try a new angle, but you sort of get beaten down after so long of wanting to try it. And so the difference with how I teach strategy execution is I give them a repeatable methodology, something that's easy to learn, and something that is documented. So in effect, the system that I use becomes a central repository of data and information. And if you get your people using that, you're not only developing conversations of consequence all the time, but you're getting meaningful data in writing that at the end of the year, you can go back and you can look and you can track your progress and say, here's where we really accelerated our success and did well, and or here's where we fell off the rails and started to have problems. You know, and that data is very, very valuable, because most of the time when those earlier failures that I talked about happen, they have nothing to look at. They have nothing to back it up with. Maybe they have some financial metrics, right? The KPIs and things that they typically use. But beyond that, they don't have any idea how the people enter into that equation and how that, you know, how all of those events happened the way they did. And that's the difference.
Right. So if we're going back to the system, so we said about communication one by one, all levels. Then we mentioned about the performance system in place to measure progress and performance. What comes next then in terms of your system, your framework?
It's the understanding that organizations don't execute, people do. And what I mean by that, I mean, you can make a case that, you know, in the aggregate, all the financial data that we add up, the revenue and the, you know, the expenses, you can add all that up and you could make a case that the organization executed on, you know, on their financials or something. But realistically, if something's going to get accomplished, it's going to get done by a person.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be real effective at goal setting inside of the organization. And again, you need to do it down individually, you know, through every level. And if we write clear and effective goals, then we're creating the behaviors that are going to generate the actions that are going to help us achieve our objectives. And let me give you an idea of how most organizations look at goal setting. They write one goal and they cascade it out through the organization, and then they put it, they make it part of their performance measurement at the end of the year, so they have something to justify an increase or a raise or a promotion. Goal setting needs to be looked at much, much differently if you're going to execute, in that we should be able to establish a culture of goal setting whereby we're setting near-term goals based on the immediate needs of the organization in that time period. And again, you can also establish longer-term goals. But for the most part, we need to take people and say, okay, here are your primary job responsibilities. And given what we want to accomplish this year, here are two or three near-term goals that we need you to accomplish. And both those primary job responsibilities and goals need to be viewed as part of their job. Too many times people look at goals, or organizations look at goals, as extra credit or bonus territory. And, you know, people don't pay any attention to them until the end of the year, right? It's a month to go and you're looking at your goals and you're going, oh, I want to get credit for that. So what do I need to do? You know, that's kind of asked backwards. You have to set those goals in the moment, and if they're applicable and achievable, go after them. If something changes, you've got to be able to get rid of that goal and rewrite it or make a new goal. And then when you accomplish something, you've got to look ahead and say, I've got 8 months in the year. What else inside the department can we get done to help facilitate, you know, our organization's improvement or growth? And what else can we tackle and go after it? So that's what I mean by creating a culture of goal setting. But, you know, once you get down to the people and you make them understand what you're trying to do, then you've got to dig in deeper with them and get them engaged and involved. And this is the perfect way to do it, because who better to ask what goals to develop than somebody who's on the ground, who's seeing it happen every day and goes, well, we would be much better if we did it this way. Okay, tell me what you're thinking. You know, how do we translate that?
Makes sense. I think that's a really good idea. You know, is setting goals at every single level organization rather than goals set at the top and then people they just need to, you know, get along with that. Now, I have a question to you, Monte. So when I do work with leaders and we work on strategy, I do actually challenge them to think really bold, thinking about not incremental gain. Because if you want to, I mean, the people I work with, they want to leave an extraordinary legacy. So they want to create something that is really impactful for the future. While there are other company organizations, nothing wrong with that, but they're just creating a sort of incremental strategy, you know, the 5%, the 10% every year, which is great, by the way. It's just a different ballpark to some extent. Now, if you think about those leaders that want to get an impactful future, something bold, aspirational, they tend to create bigger dreams, bigger goals, bigger futures, and that creates a little bit of stretching in people. They're creating commitment, they're creating something different. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, for a number of reasons that we all know. However, one of the risks is people, when they commit to something big and they're setting goals, what they ended up doing is just moving the goalpost rather than committing to that, because it's easier, because that is what human beings tend to do when they're in, you know, when they're struggling with dealing with that kind of reality. So based on your experience working with organizations when they're setting strategies, there is a risk potentially that when you let people to set their own goals, they might play safe because it's safer for them, and you're not necessarily creating something particularly impactful when it comes to strategy, or it's something that you help them to think about, maybe thinking a little bit bigger, because what they created is nothing than just kind of the same old, or just incremental.
Yeah. So what's really key about that thought is that, and if I didn't clarify this earlier, I need to here, because that feedback loop includes sharing the goals that are set at each level with the leadership team. So say I had a department of 5 or 6 people, and we were, you know, we were doing operations. We would go back, and as a leader, I would go back and I would present to my leadership what the goals were for my team. And so they would basically be a check and balance in there and say, yeah, those are good. Those fit.
Yeah. Those are not good enough, or we need to challenge more.
Yeah, or we're doing that here, so don't duplicate it.
Right.
There's this interchange with respect to goals, just as much as there is the feedback from performance.
Right. Okay. So that feedback loop helps as well to make sure the goals are good enough, big enough, and they are something that could be potentially bigger. Is it normal to see people setting goals that are way, way bigger than what they potentially can chew at the time?
I think you have some of that. But I think the bigger problem, Andrea, is that people don't know what's happening out there. Because they're not effective at monitoring what's out there, they don't know who's doing what at what time. And that causes more of an issue than just the aspiration being too big. Because if you really think about it, and if you're really execution-minded, you're having that discussion about the goal. So say it's a BHAG. I mean, you know, the four disciplines of execution. If you know McChesney's work, he talks about having big audacious goals. Mm. If it's too big, you break that down and you make that, you know, more manageable. And that's what needs to happen. So that in that exchange, in that direct conversation with, you know, between the operating units, you figure that out and you work it in. And then again, everything sort of being rubber stamped or approved, you know, by leadership, if you're paying attention. So,
understood.
You know, again, it's a lot of detail, but most of the people don't have a detailed plan for how they do it. So that's where it kind of comes apart.
Right. Yeah, look, to me, what looks clear to me is you provide that framework where people can generate things from. So at least they know there is a structure, they are followed, and they know exactly what to do next. So I think that's, to me, is critically important, which I think is what is the end goal of any framework, right? Giving people a new frame where they can operate, they know that one step, then there is another, and there is a tested and proved methodology, in other words, to do that. Is there anything else that we need to know about the framework, the system that you use that we did not cover so far?
I don't think so, but I hope your listeners are getting an idea that strategy is important, and we never want to shortchange that. It's always good to have the right strategy, but I'm of the opinion, again, some may disagree with me, that execution takes 10 times the effort it does to develop a good strategy. It just does. It's detailed work that we just don't think of all of the nuances and all of the effort that needs to go against it to succeed.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think it's shared. I think it's a shared observation that execution takes way more than creating the strategy. You need both, and you need to be creative, in my opinion, and be bold in the creation moment, but also you need to make sure the organization, you know, has the commitment to execute. Is there any other lessons that you would like to share based on the work that you have been doing for so many years about strategy? Something else that is important for the people, for the leaders in the audience to know about?
I would say probably the biggest thing is that execution takes courageous leadership. You have to be able to have the difficult conversations with your people and work through them on a consistent basis. You just can't have people that are misaligned and that aren't working in the best interests of the team. And again, you know, you see this in large corporations. I'm sure you've experienced it, you know, where strategy kind of becomes, you know, someone's desire to get more budget or FaceTime with the boss, or you know, it's all about self-interest versus the organization's success. And you've got to start out early from the beginning and have the alignment that basically says, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and we're all, you know, we're all on board with that. And if if you're not in agreement with that, you've got to step up and you've got to speak your mind, and we've got to deal with it now. So, you know, dealing with those difficult conversations, that's where the courage comes in.
I like that. That is a very good way for ending the show and this episode, because I think this message is important. So courage. Courage as an attitude in organizations. And I don't believe many organizations have that, although they might say, but there's no reality and attitude in their people. And I think the level of risk is so high these days, given all the uncertainty, that, you know, the default is not taking risks, so don't be courage enough, because it's easier. It's easier and it looks safer, but it's not producing results, especially in the current climate. So that is a very good final comment. Monte, where people should go if they want to know more about your work? I said before, of course, LinkedIn is your main source, but if they want to know, even potentially working with you, understanding more about the framework that you use, what they need to know?
So the name of my company, the CDA Group, that stands for Clarify, Deploy, Achieve. So my website is clarifydeployachieve.com, all one word. So if you want to learn more, I post a lot of articles. So there's just a lot of leadership information and execution, strategy execution information that you'll find. And there's an opportunity to opt into my content, which I just put out on a weekly basis. I call it a quick bite. It's just a short blog on leadership. I call it the fastest 23 seconds of wisdom on the internet. So you can go there once a week. You can get it in your mailbox, and it should make you a better manager for doing it. So participate there, and then obviously, you know, my regular contact information's everywhere.
Thank you, Monte. Yeah, and I do recommend, you know, the audience to follow you on LinkedIn, because you are very educational and inspiring, but also educational. So you provide a lot of deep reflection, observation about strategy execution. So that is another good way to get connected with you and following you, besides, of course, working with you if they want to. So Monte, thank you so much for being on the show today. Enjoy the conversation and good luck with your new engagements.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, Andrea.